T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and
All right, 203 on The Fan, and a very good Monday afternoon to you. Beningo and Roberts in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Here at 6 o'clock, Mike, of course, Francesa will come your way. Brian Riscona back in Manhattan, Ernie Acosta in Yonkers. We're live from the Town Fair Tire studio with nobody, and nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody, bro, how are you?
Excellent. How was your weekend, man?
Weekend was okay. Yeah, you know, played a lot of golf, did my show on Saturday, and basically what I did, watched the last dance, watched some of the last three or four holes of the golf yesterday. That was it. There we go. Rock and roll.
I picked a lot of weeds this weekend, and I got to tell you.
You didn't smoke any, though. You just picked.
No.
No. Just asking. You know,
I don't know if I would admit on the air if I did, especially now.
Right. Well,
but I picked a lot of weeds, you know, that stupid stuff that grows from the ground. And I got to tell you, I don't know if anyone else feels this way. It is therapeutic, man.
Is it? Did you find it therapy?
I really did. Like, when you pull it out of it's out of the soil, like, you get the whole thing and you see the root come out.
Mm-hmm. Right,
It feels so victorious. It was a very good feeling, and I hate to admit this. This was the first time.
Victorious. Pulling out those roots.
Wow. Damn right. It was the first time where I think I was doing it for a few hours, you know, and Jet's helping and my wife's watching. And all of a sudden I look at the watch or my phone. I don't have a watch. And it says that it's 3 o'clock. And I said to myself, wow, if the Mets or Yankees were playing right now, I wouldn't have been doing this for the last 2 hours.
You wouldn't be pulling weeds.
That's yeah. Like, so the lack of baseball helped me be very, very productive.
Nets,
with
Nets
the
playing
ball.
In a conference final maybe today? Or
what are you, nuts?
Game 7 or the round before that?
Yeah, right. I don't even know what round we'd be up to. What round would we be up to right now, May 18th?
At least in the second round.
Yeah, I think maybe
late
second round.
I think that's probably
round.
Where you'd be. I think you'd probably be getting into the second round somewhere.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've experienced late in the second round, to be honest with you. Yeah. Well, I mean, eventually, soon we're going to see it. But at least for these last few weeks with this weather nice, we are all getting to accomplish things we normally never do.
Yeah. I golf to me is very therapeutic until I start collapsing. And then I find the therapy isn't so great.
That's the beauty of the weeding as compared to golf.
That's right. You really can't collapse when you're pulling weeds.
As frustrated as I may get when I can't get the weed out, like I'm ripping at it and I can't get it, it's probably not as bad as a quadruple bogey.
You know what? It's not even that. It's like, you know, when you play, I played 18 holes. I probably should not have. I probably should have stopped at 9.
Right.
I played, of course, with Terry. Played a solid 9, front 9. Pretty solid, okay? Had one bad hole, but played pretty solid front 9, putted well. And then the back 9 was like, you know, once it goes on a given day, and then Scone, I think, will admit this too. I know Scone's a big golfer. Once it goes, it's very difficult to get it back. I mean, once you lose it a little bit and you start losing that focus a little bit and maybe you're getting a little tired, it's you're pretty much cooked, I'll tell you that.
Well, I was going to ask, is it more mental or physical?
I think it's a combination. I think for me now, as I get a little older, I think it's a little more where the physical comes into play. You know what I mean?
No, it makes sense.
You know, I find myself now, I got to really, the days, you know, because you always want to play 18, oh, let's keep going. You know, and some days maybe you shouldn't, you know, especially when you get up to, you know, where, you know, not that I'm old, but if, you know, you're playing a lot, some days maybe you got to, you know, take a break a little bit.
And also think about how good you feel after you play well on the front nine.
Well, that's it.
You can
walk
100% away as a victor.
And then, you know, and then you, that you couldn't, I couldn't agree more. You know, you play well on the front. And then you don't play well in the back, and now you're walking away, you know, all ticked off that you stunk. You're not thinking about how you played in the beginning. You're thinking about how you played in the end.
Yeah, it changes your whole view on the
day. No question.
Makes sense. A couple of things from Last Dance last night.
Oh, my God. I'm so ticked off with Last Dance last night.
See, I am too. What are you ticked off about? Maybe it's the same thing.
A couple things ticked me off. First of all, the absolute – and this, again, I want to remind all you Knicks fans out there that are in love with Michael Jordan, that want to kiss his rear end and want to say how great it is, how wonderful it was. Oh, we lost to him. It's okay. Well, here's a couple things, and this jumped in. Number one, when they asked Jordan who were the toughest teams in the East that he had to deal with, he didn't say the Knicks. He said the Pacers, who we played one time in the playoffs. Granted, they gave him a very tough seven-game series, maybe even should have won it. He said the Pacers and the Pistons. He didn't say the Knicks. Didn't say that. To me, that shows he didn't respect the Knicks. And the other thing that ticked me off, they showed that where Jordan eliminated 20 Hall of Fame players.
The trivia question, yes.
Right. Who did he eliminate the most? And I knew it was Ewing, but they're wrong. He eliminated. They said four times. No. Five times he eliminated Ewing. Not four. 89, 91, 92, 93, and 96. I count that up to be five, not four.
How'd they get that wrong?
They did. You know, they probably weren't counting 1989, or maybe they weren't counting 1996. They missed it. It's five. Believe me, bro.
No, I know. I agree.
I got a hemorrhoid for every one of them. So I know how many it is. Okay.
Yeah.
And I was so ticked off between him slighting the Knicks. And again, for all you Knicks fans that love him, Spike, you too, because you love him too. He just spited you. He just told you that your beloved franchise, you know, that they're not a speck on the ground. That's what he basically told you. No respect at all. And keep that in mind when you're loving it up and you're yucking it up and you're kissing his rear end.
You know, it's funny. This was the first 30 seconds of episode 9, what you're alluding to. It was right out of the gate. It was the first 30 seconds where Michael Jordan said the Indiana Pacers were the toughest team we faced.
And the Pistons.
And then he couched it. Yeah, then he said,
and
of course the Pistons.
Right.
No mention of the Knicks. And
not at all.
The first thing I did, and I would never do it to you because I respect you, but there are some Knicks fans I know that you describe very aptly. They love Michael Jordan.
Oh, love
him. Everything.
Oh.
When those words came out of Michael's mouth, I fired up the text message to say, wow, Michael Jordan took a giant steaming pile of, and you know,
question.
I said other things, right all over your franchise to start episode.
No doubt about
it. So I completely agree with you right out of the gate. And I'm not saying he was doing it necessarily on purpose. I think he's genuinely thinking, probably because the Pacers pushed him to that seventh game, even though the Knicks pushed him to a seventh game, too. Let's not ignore that.
Right.
But for whatever reason, maybe it's the recency bias towards it. I have no idea. I do believe he genuinely thought the Pacers pushed him, and they could have won that game, seven.
They had the lead late. They had a three-point lead and, you know, 5-6 minutes to go. Reggie Miller explains that jump ball that they don't win. You know, they scored. I think Curry hit a big three after that.
That was it. Tied the game.
And he felt that that really changed everything, and they never recovered from it.
100%. So, look, the Pacers did technically push the Chicago Bulls as far as anyone pushed them during the championship
and
run.
And probably played them as tough. That's probably the toughest series that the Bulls had to deal with, I would agree, in their championship runs.
No, and I thought it was interesting how Reggie Miller, right at the beginning, also basically says over and over, he said it at least three times, I still believe to this day we had the better team.
Right. Sound like Ewing all those years.
Yeah.
He used to say it all the time.
No, I know. A lot of people walk away thinking that or saying
as
that.
As they lose again.
As they lose again. But I thought that was really cool going into that series because that was a tremendous Eastern Conference Finals between the Chicago Bulls and the Indiana Pacers.
Yep.
But I took that the exact same way, not even being a Knicks fan, that right out of the gate, to open episode 9, he was, if I was a Knicks fan, I would have felt disrespected. Like, wow, okay, not even mentioning my team.
Absolutely
I agree with
right.
you. I agree with you.
Absolutely right. And that's why I want to direct it at all the Knicks fans that love Michael. They think that Reggie is the bigger villain than Michael Jordan. Will think again. I guarantee you Reggie respects the Knicks more than Jordan does.
Yep. The other thing was, and while we may disagree on if Michael Jordan left basketball because of some grand conspiracy theory, it is a conspiracy theory. And during this documentary about 2 episodes ago, they laid the facts out and said, come on, it's BS, and they laughed at it. So I was, it's a joke. It's no way true. Yet they want us to believe, because this is what they pushed last night. They want us to believe that the Utah Jazz fans, who own some pizzeria, purposely poisoned Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah,
that conspiracy theory, Joe, that's true. We have to buy that one.
They did
about him leaving. Oh, that can't be true.
They did kind of allude. They did kind of allude to that, didn't they? Not
kind you of know, allude.
No. Well, first of all, no rooms. I mean, how could the Bulls be staying at a hotel where there's no room service? And I understand Utah probably closes at 7 o'clock at night. Okay. I probably, you know, I don't know. I mean,
right.
You know, who knows? But, you know, you're in a hotel where there's no room service, number one. And I could understand, like I said, it probably closes at 7 o'clock at night. You can't get anything. You're lucky that they have a pizzeria open. And what do you say? Like 5 different people brought the pizza,
yes,
right?
5 people delivered the
right.
pizza.
Right. And then he eats. And here's the other thing that bothered me, too. 10:30 at night. And I understand you, Michael Jordan. I'm not saying it has nothing to do with how much, you know, putting weight on. But 10:30 at night eating a pizza, I don't think is the ideal time to be eating a pizza. You know what I mean?
No, probably not. Probably
you know what
not.
I'm saying?
And Joe, if the security guy had a bad feeling about it, and that's what he claims, then why are you just letting him eat the pizza?
Right, that's
and
right.
There are so many holes to this conspiracy. There are more holes, Joe, in this conspiracy than the one about him leaving baseball because of gambling.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Yet they want us to buy, it was food poisoning.
Right.
But how would these people even know delivering the pizza that it's from Michael Jordan? What, the security guy calls up and says, I need a pizza for Michael Jordan?
Well, obviously they knew it. I mean, I don't know. Did they tell him that? I mean, you know.
The whole thing smells.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, you're right.
100% here's the truth. I read this morning, it's from a reporter in Utah, and I'm not saying this guy speaks the gospel, but he said that he heard from a source that the truth was Michael Jordan took a plane to Vegas and was hungover. Now, I'm not telling you that's true, but here's what I would say, Joe.
Was he looking for Rodman again?
Right.
No, was that the series where was it the Indiana series
Indiana took off
to go to the wrestling show?
Oh, no, that was the finals. That was
that
the Utah
was,
series.
Right. It was
Utah,
right? Yeah. Right.
I think it was one game earlier. It was after game four or three.
Was that what it was? Okay, whatever.
Right when he goes. That's amazing. It was after game 3. Rodman shows up at Monday Nitro. And I remember that as a wrestling fan.
Right.
And by the way, they didn't mention this. Not that they should, but I'm just letting you know. Karl Malone would show up soon later, and they had a tag team match.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Karl Malone wrestled in WCW as well.
Did it bother you that after they got eliminated, I don't know if it was the first one or the second one, that Karl Malone is on the bus congratulating Jordan?
Yes.
What was that?
Oh, I'd be disgusted.
I mean, how does he do that? They showed something where him and Stockton went into the locker room, I guess maybe it was after they lost in 97. Okay, you walk in the locker room, congratulate. You could do it. I could see that. But then you got to go on this team bus and kiss his rear end some more?
We went from one extreme to the other. We went from Isaiah won't shake hands at the end of a game
to
Karl Malone is getting on his hands and knees on the team bus.
Right, wants to take him on his motorcycle with him,
pretty much. Give me a break.
Hold on, Michael. Here we go.
If I was a Jazz fan, I would not like that visual of Karl Malone walking on the bus to say, hey, congratulations.
Right.
You stole my soul in our building.
Right.
I mean, the last 41 seconds, and we all remember it, that wasn't new, but the last 41 seconds of Game 6 of the NBA Finals in 1998.
What a brutal loss for Utah that was.
Awful.
Awful.
I mean, it's great for Michael. Yep. Michael's an all-time great.
Yeah,
what an exclamation point.
Of course.
Everything about that, really the biggest part that would tick me off is Carl getting his pocket picked by Michael. That's the worst part.
He didn't know he was there.
He had no idea.
He lost track of him and basically hands him the ball. Yeah, no doubt.
And so a little bit after that, Carl, who has to realize in that moment, damn it, I'm never winning an NBA championship. Right? Yes. This is just never going to happen.
Right.
He walks out of the team bus to say congratulations. Can't make it up. Come on.
Yeah, that's not good. Not good, bro.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that, but the conspiracy that they pushed about him, because they wouldn't say it, Joe, but they walked us to the watering hole. They brought us to the water to give us all the facts in their mind on why Michael Jordan was poisoned before game five of the NBA final. Well, give me a break.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, this was a great documentary. It was a great 10-part series. I recommend anybody who's even a fringe basketball fan to watch this, okay? It was great. There's no doubt. But as you alluded to more than once, it is so – I mean, there is just – not. And I understand how great he is. Look, the greatness is no doubt. But, I mean, this is as big a butt-kissing for Michael Jordan as you could possibly have. Let's be honest.
No question. And, look, we knew that going in, and I think we saw that throughout this documentary, that this is a –
throughout.
Is a puff piece may be too strong, but it's definitely pro Michael Jordan.
I mean, they covered everything. They touched on everything. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, well, I mean, even when Costas, you know, when he talks about the father and there's not a shred of evidence to think that anything was linked with Jordan's camp. I mean, which maybe there wasn't. But I just, you know, I go back to the father. I just can't. I just have a hard time believing that he was murdered just the way they say it happened.
That's those conspiracies are crazy. But the conspiracy of the food poisoning, oh, that's got to happen.
Right.
Like this pizzeria in Utah decided, let's food poison Michael. What is this, a movie? What is this, some dopey movie? Give me a break. I don't buy that. I buy the idea he went to Vegas for the
maybe
night. I buy that a lot more.
Yeah.
Well, because you know what? We've seen that before.
Right.
As we saw in the...
Right, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm just what I was going to say was Salt Lake City is not that far from Vegas.
Yeah. Oh,
I buy that. Pretty quick plane ride.
I buy that one a hell of a lot more than the idea that he was poisoned. And this other part, I understand a lot of people may not agree with me on this, and that's fine. And I am biased towards this. I wasn't expecting, Joe, an entire episode about being a Washington Wizard, but I was expecting something about the fact that a few years later he came out of retirement. If you didn't know anything about sports and you just watched this documentary, you would have no idea that Michael Jordan actually played two more years in the NBA.
Well, even remember when they showed that thing at the end, they kind of like did a little graphic of what happened afterwards to everybody. And all it says was, you know, Jordan, you know, retired for this again after 1998.
Yeah.
That's all it said.
Yeah. He goes
didn't
back.
Didn't say he wound up in Washington.
No.
Didn't say anything like that.
See, that's the thing. I mean, I was hoping for something about his Washington days, even if it was 10 minutes, even if it was 5 minutes, whatever it was. There was not even a mention.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have no idea that Michael Jordan came out of retirement to play for the Wizards.
Right.
And maybe I'm crazy for saying this. I don't really think he needs to be that embarrassed by what happened in Washington. He was 38 years old.
He was playing
with an incredibly young team. I thought he played reasonably well considering he had nothing around him. And I think they won 37 games in both seasons. It wasn't Willie Mays falling down in center field.
No, it just wasn't. No. But this was the last dance. This is how it had to end. This wasn't about Jordan as anything else but a Chicago Bull. That was it. There was, right or wrong, I mean, the last dance, and that's it. They weren't going into, it wasn't necessarily his entire career. It was his career, you know, from the time he was a kid through the end of the Bull run.
And that's why I understood if they just made a reference to it, not 20 minutes on it. They didn't even make a reference to it.
Again,
if anyone watched this and didn't know anything about Jordan or basketball, they'd have no idea he came out of retirement. They'd have no idea.
Right.
But this was really, really special. And obviously the time we're living in had a lot to do with it. This was communal TV, and we don't get that much anymore.
No.
You know, back in the 80s and 70s and 60s, we had so few channels that if there was a popular show on, if there was a big event on, everybody would be watching it at the same time. We now live in a world with DVR, with a million different channels, with Netflix. There's nothing like communal TV outside of a big sporting event. This pulled it off. I mean, this was one of those events. Yep. Everybody was watching live. Yep. Everybody's commenting on. Everybody's talking about it. And sure, where we are in the world right now has a lot to do with it, no doubt. But I also think it shows you the intrigue people have for that team and for Michael Jordan, the athlete. So that was very cool over the last 5 weeks that I think we all experienced that.
Hey, look, it was great. I mean, ESPN did a stellar job on it. It really, like I said, they really covered everything right from the time he was a kid through that 1998 season. I thought even at the end, you know, where I get, if you believe this too, I guess, where, you know, Phil Jackson has everybody write a little letter or something. What was this? Everybody wrote a letter at the end, and then they read it, and then he burned it, right? Isn't that how they say
yes.
it?
Yes, yeah, some Phil Jacksonian kind of thing.
You know, right, exactly. And Michael wrote a poem, some kind of a poem.
Right.
Wow.
Right. That was interesting.
Is that what we're going to do when it's all said and done for us? Are we, is Chernoff going to make me write a poem?
And then you're going to throw it into a fire? No, it sounds like fun.
We're all going to burn it? Or what are we going to do? Oh, my God.
Don't give him any ideas.
No,
I like that idea.
I understand.
We'll get to some of your calls about this at 877-337-6666, plus the breakup and the potential return that they talked about at the end in 1999. Mm. We'll also
that
be joined.
That was a joke, too. Reinsdorf, I mean, I think the cat was out of the bag already with that
yeah.
one, Reinsdorf. Who is he kidding?
Yeah, we got to get into that coming up. Plus, we'll talk to a very versatile guy. You remember Jerry Hairston Jr. He was, of course, a veteran major leaguer, was on the 2009 New York Yankees, now does some TV work for the Dodgers. But he is also, along with all that with baseball, he is a Michael Jordan aficionado.
Oh, is he really?
That's right. So we could talk baseball and MJ with Jerry Hairston Jr., the former Yankee. He'll join us at 4 o'clock. We'll get to your calls next. Beningo and Roberts here in the afternoon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.